Welcome to One Decent Pastor, a weekly podcast of The Door located in Central Oregon, where three completely average guys join forces to make one decent pastor and to discuss, discover, and promote all things Bible.
Living color
on One Decent Pastor.
Hey, everyone.
Very subdued today.
Hello. Hello.
We're there. We're live.
Is that how they started in Living Color? Did they say, like, we're live on In Living Color or something?
Live in Living Color.
I think I'm a Christian. I don't know what show you're
Whatever,
talking
listen
about.
Listen to you.
I watch it all the time. I do know what it was. But
dude,
it was,
Fire Marshal Bill, come on.
It was after my time a little bit.
That's where Jim Carrey got notoriety.
Yeah, I do know that.
I didn't watch it.
He was the one white guy.
I did like.
Wasn't that like? Produced by the Wayans?
Yeah, the Wayans. Yeah, the Wayans family.
Yeah, I never really did watch it. I think that's where Paula Abdul and maybe J Lo got their start too. They were the. I think they were called the Fly Girls.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So
they were like.
So you are a Christian and you did.
I was more like the Solid Gold era.
You watched the girls when they were down.
No, I was more like Fridays, Solid Gold, SCTV. You got to go ways back.
Dude, I remember. No, me too. Solid Gold. Oh, yeah.
You watched Lawrence Welk.
Lawrence Welk. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jacques Cousteau.
Star Search.
Yeah, you got to go.
That?
Hee-haw. Star Search. Yeah, Hee-haw.
Oh, Hee-haw. That was classic.
Loved Hee-haw.
Yeah.
Gunsmoke. So I'm just a little older than you fellas. So.
Yeah, this one. What did you call it? Friday. What is it?
The first show.
In Living Color. Friday Night Lights. Sorry. No, that's something else. In Living Color. That was much later than the shows you guys are talking about right now.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. It was
so that's like 90s, right?
That was the point of my saying. That
it was probably early.
It was 90s. After my time.
And then Saturday Night Live.
I'm going to have a hard time today, Brent.
No, Saturday Night Live came out like in the like 75 or like mid-70s. It's been around for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna struggle too because when Chad said we're live, I was going to say barely, half like.
Yeah, half alive. Brent's been sick for 3 days.
And some of us are barely alive.
I'm getting my butt kicked by that pollen too. So.
And it's like floating around. I watched the car the other day and when I was down, I'm like.
Yeah,
it gets into everything. Yeah. You can't help it, and it's in my throat. Man, it's in my sinus.
Sunday, I thought it was maybe allergies because my throat was scratchy, and then by Sunday night, I was like, oh my goodness. And then it was laying in bed, just freezing with chills, and then waking up with the bed soaked from sweat. And,
that's been going on. Yeah. I know some other people. My wife
and I feel good now, but I still sound congested and I'm a little foggy. But I feel 100% better than I did. So.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Two weekends ago, we refreshed our bark mulch and had this nice, black mulch in the yard. And then last weekend, just all the pollen dropped on the new bark mulch, and so now it's yellow.
Yes.
What do you do about that? Nothing.
Nothing. Yeah. Just
I'm have, that
you
way.
Just
with
have yellow
rain.
Mulch
you need
now.
Rain.
Yeah.
You could get a hose. And some water.
I'm like that with our driveway. We got our driveway repaved last summer. Yeah. Just really nice blacktop.
Yeah.
You know, it's just yellow.
Right. Got their blowing it off.
It's terrible.
It's really annoying.
Yeah. Stinking.
Yeah.
Thankfully, it's just sort of a little window. And then it's.
Seems like there's a couple weeks.
A couple weeks, right?
Yeah. Like a week and a half.
It's like you
something.
Can see it in the trees, too, right?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, what is that? Is it raining? No.
Every year it's like The Happening. You know, did you see that movie? Where you see it going on, like coming out of the trees, and you're like, oh, they're trying to kill us.
Yeah. Right.
These trees are trying to kill us.
Just watching it.
Mother Nature's trying to kill us.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh, goodness. What else, homies? I'm going camping after this. What are you guys doing?
Going
on.
Brent's like,
I'm
not going
tomorrow. Not right after this, but tomorrow.
When are you going up tomorrow?
I don't know. Sometime tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're trying not to commit yet?
Late morning, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
See how the day goes.
And your wife going?
Yeah.
Is the grandkid going?
Yeah, he is.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool.
They love camping.
Yeah.
Jeff, what are you doing this weekend?
We got a shooting event on Saturday.
Hang on. You shoot guns and you're Christian?
Yes.
Sounds about right.
Last year we called it a family shooting event. We had to change the name. People thought we were
not shooting
families out.
That sounds like a news headline, man.
That's awesome.
We do it like once a year. There's a ranch out in Christmas Valley and one of our elders, his brother owns it. So we go out for the morning and then. Yeah, it's fun. So
nice.
I thought
Vic Russell had something that was out that direction.
That's his brother.
Is that the tri-tip guy?
So it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's not all the way to Christmas Valley. It's like right
no,
before
it's,
you
yeah,
get
it's
there.
Like mile 28.
Yeah.
Yep. So
little canyon there. Yeah, it is a cool place.
Because they have like three different areas you can shoot different types of guns, and they got some national groups that use it. Well, it's got a couple hundred acres. Yeah, so.
It's awesome. Yeah. Sweet. Shoot some different families. Invite only. Yep.
Exactly. Invite only. If you're invited, then
that's right. All right. There was a Chally's article. Did you read it? It was super short, but it just kind of sparked like I don't know. We're always going through.
What? Is this a past article he wrote?
No. Well, I came across it like a couple weeks ago and just saved it to my dealio. Yeah, so I think it's a newer one. I don't think. Oh, you printed it out like
I did. And then I read it.
Well, I didn't really.
Does it have a date on it? Should have a date.
Yeah,
it should
have. May 28th.
Jeff.
May 28th.
Yeah, but it doesn't say what year. Anyway, we're not really following that. It just kind of sparked the idea of what are we doing?
Just like we're trying to crack the code. If you just saw it a couple weeks ago and it says May 28th, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say it's a fresh article. It's a fresh
article. It's a fresh. Grant, you're such an investigator, dude.
It's always killing the fun, isn't
it? We're not really following the article, but I mean loosely.
I printed it out just because.
Loosely. But it did get me thinking about this whole subject, especially with a couple things that we've gone through as a church over the last couple years that, you know, can cause people to come to conclusions, you know?
Be judgy. What was you say? Yeah,
McJudge face? That was in the runnings for a time.
We have some Judgy McJudge faces in our congregation. I might be
one
of
them. We don't have any of them.
I got shot down on that title. So,
what did you actually go with?
Yeah, what are we going?
I don't even remember what it is now.
Yeah, okay.
It wasn't as cool as Judgy McJudge face.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how rad are you guys at judging other people poorly?
12.
Oh, poorly. I'm glad you added that.
I don't want to use the word gifted, but I feel
are
like
you gifted?
I would say I'm gifted.
Yeah. One of your spiritual gifts?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know about that, but that's judging, right?
Yeah.
Well, there's different
types of judging
that we should be careful of. But first of all, where does judging come from? Like, is judging in and of its is
my evil black heart?
Evil okay, heart. All right. So it's a result of the fall,
deep
right?
Inside.
Depends on which kind of judging you're talking about.
It does. Right. It does. I'm talking about, in general, making judgments.
Well, in the good sense, I mean, didn't it come from God to start? But then we've, as man kind of,
we kind of screwed it up.
Tend
didn't
to screw it up. Right?
We tend to put our own spin on it.
Yeah.
I mean,
we help God out. Yeah. You know, we evolve these things.
We're just here to help him.
Sorry, Brent.
No, you're good. No, there's the idea of we have to know what's right, what's wrong, what's good, what's bad, what's, you know, regardless of what it is, whether it's an output you're putting together, a meal you're eating, it's just kind of a common. I don't know if common grace is the right thing, but. It's a good thing to have.
Mm-hmm.
Judgment.
I do think it's good.
Right.
Yeah, good.
When done right,
sound judgment is important.
Yeah, I think in that sense, the other word, parallel word, would be discernment. You know, you're discerning things as you go through life,
right?
Whether big or small, or and we'll get into some of that.
Can I make that jump on my bike if I try? I mean,
that's
a judgment call.
Yeah,
sometimes it's not good judgment. But
no, sometimes it's life saving.
Can I eat an eighth piece of pizza? Right. And be okay or not?
Sure.
Should I eat that Chinese food even though it's purple now? My son would now tell you.
Or that
no,
hot
you can't.
Dog from the gas station?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's poor judgment.
So
usually when people talk about judging, it has like a negative connotation to it.
Well, we are going to talk about the cautions. I mean, it can swing. It's like almost anything in the human experience, right? You have these things that are necessary parts of life that we can either use well or use not well. And this is one of them. This is one of the big ones. It's also, you know, the buzz, the hot button, you know, for even secular culture today. Mm-hmm. Everyone loves
don't
to talk
me.
About the verse. Actually, just, are you guys already there?
I'm no.
Matthew 7.
I'm in Daniel.
Yeah, it's become like the most popular text in the Bible by believers and non-believers alike. And
everybody seems to know that one.
Everyone seems to know that one, and they have their own personal interpretation of what it's saying. So let's read it.
You need borrow my
let's
glasses.
See what's being said and what's not being said. One of you are going to have to read it because I forgot my Bible today, and I can't.
Do you just want verse one?
Do the first five verses.
Okay.
Come on.
I don't have much of a voice, so somebody can speak. Yeah,
I'll do it. All right. Matthew 7:1. Judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Mm-hmm. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye.
What do people use?
Do you want this? Six, too?
No. I mean, you can.
Do not give dogs what is holy.
All right. Call them dogs. Yeah. It's saying, that do not
very,
judge.
That seems very judgmental.
Jesus is like, don't judge anyone. And he's like, these guys are dogs. And it's like,
actually, that is the second. Best part of that is that he's saying, you know, he's talking about judgment. And he's like,
we forget six.
Starts calling people dogs and
yeah,
pigs.
Yeah, dogs and pigs.
It's interesting. Yeah. So let's just go with that. What is this not saying? Because there's a lot of people that, what do most people think this is saying? That
it's
uses?
Not saying don't judge.
Yeah. In fact,
it's actually commanding.
Wouldn't that be impossible?
Well, don't judge me.
Yeah.
I think everybody understands we have to make judgments.
We have to. Yeah. But people almost use it as if we shouldn't be making judgments at all.
Yeah. I think it's that. Don't look at anything I'm doing, anything I'm saying, you know, how I'm you know, presenting myself, don't ever say anything against that. You have no permission to tell me that I'm wrong
sure.
in my choices.
That right. It's using a negative.
Yeah, because the context in which Jesus is talking about this seems to even be something morally. I don't think he's just talking about in general. I think he's talking about us making moral judgments or moral yeah. calls on people around us, and that's where the whole plank eye thing happens. So it's not saying don't judge. Because we do judge all the time. It's a necessary part of life. What is it saying, though?
Is this sidebar? Is this where Plank Eye got its name? I never really yeah. connected those dots. Before.
Good job, Chad.
Yeah.
This is where
I was this many years old when I realized, oh,
this
Plank
is
Eye.
Where Plank Eye got okay. its name.
You never stop learning.
All right. Yeah.
You're going to be blown away when you figure out Blender Head.
Yeah. Okay, back to regular.
And do you realize why most people think that Jesus chose the Plank Eye hyperbole here? Because he was a carpenter.
Not a pirate, like walk the plank.
Listen up, Pharisees. That wasn't a pirate
Don't
voice.
Don't judge,
sorry.
Ye mateys.
Okay, hang on a second. What?
All right.
What do we think Jesus is saying? What does he mean? What's his intention?
I think he is getting to the motive of judging, the heart behind it. I mean, I think because it is a command. He says, judge not, lest you be not judged, that you be not judged. But then he talks about, for the judgment you pronounce, you'll be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So there's a sense where he is calling us to judge, but at the same time, I don't think he's calling us to, like, we can't judge heart and motive and conscience of people because we don't know that.
Mm. I mean, I think that's definitely part of it, but the idea of the measure you use, he's. I think this idea that we use ourselves as the measure, and judge people based on
right.
You know, our standard of what you know, and, yeah. and he's saying, wait a sec,
there's a difference.
You're not the standard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this is why I think this idea, like, who are you to judge me? Mm-hmm. And that's a good question.
Right.
You know, if we're the standard for judgment, and that's what we're going around judging people, well, that is messed up.
Yeah. Yeah, and that we use a different standard for ourselves than we do for others. I mean, right. obviously is what he's talking about.
About
right?
the
is that you do the same thing, but for some reason you hate yeah. it when you see it, someone else do it.
Right. Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And typically, isn't it the things that we see in other people that we hate? We're like, oh wait, that's
totally.
Get the mirror out.
Right. Right.
Yeah. I mean,
so I would say what is being taught here, overall principle, if I was to bottom line it, is judge rightly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. There's a difference sure. between judging wrongly and judging rightly.
Yeah.
The point is not don't judge at all. The point is when you make judgments, judge rightly.
Sure.
You know, or,
and
or
it
justly.
Not outside of you, but inside.
Right? It starts
like
with
judge you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Judge you first.
Yeah, exactly.
When you think about, too, what he's saying, too, in the sense that he talks about in that judgment that you're making, if you say something to a brother or sister in Christ, you're. He talks about taking the log first out of your own eye before you help someone else. And I think that's, as I think about that, even within the church, churches can be very judgmental in pointing out sin in somebody's life.
Yes.
And typically it's, here's your sin, figure it out. When you get it figured out, come back to us. Instead of, hey, we recognize this sin. How can we help? How can we walk through that? How can we help you walk out of it? How, you know?
Well, I would say the motive is not normally to build somebody up or to help somebody. It's normally to tear them down and hurt them.
Right.
Or make yourself feel better.
Right.
There's a humility that comes when you realize that, first and foremost, I'm a sinner. Like, you're a sinner, yes, but I'm a sinner, right?
Yeah.
There's a humility that comes with that that allows you to look at another sinner with compassion and with grace and with a motivation to help them in their battle with
sin. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I mean, we're kind of talking about this already, but if judgment is a necessary part of life, something that has been installed in the human experience, something that is part of being human and life that's God-given, what makes it go bad? Why does it go bad? Judgment gone wrong. Is an easy one, right?
That would have been a good title. Judgment gone wrong.
Judgment gone wrong.
Oh.
We can go back and fix that later.
Yeah, we can go back and fix it.
I know for me, there's insecurity in sin in me that causes me to want to judge everybody else in this way that pushes them down so that I feel better about
it. It makes
myself.
Us feel better about ourselves. Sure. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, our pride.
Totally. Well, and if you're looking at somebody else's, you don't have to look at yourself, right? I mean, that's
especially if they're worse than you. If you can you know, make a case that they're way worse,
right?
It's like, okay, I can excuse myself now.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, we tend to, what's the old saying? Like, we tend to judge, how does it go? Others, our insides by others' outsides or something like that, you know? Like, we know ourselves well inside, like who we are and what our deficits are and stuff like that. And so it's easy to look at and compare that to other people's outsides and then try to find ways to make us feel better inside. Basically what you're saying. Yeah. I don't know why I went the long way around that.
Yeah.
Told you, I'm not thinking
people
today.
People in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. I don't know where you're going.
Okay, Brent, that was an easier way to say it for sure. So, obviously,
I don't know what you're going for.
Obviously, our sinfulness is, you know, the reason why we do it. You know what I mean?
Right.
And pride is you know, the foundation of everything that we build off that is godless, you know. So we're always looking for ways to, you know, to bump ourselves up. And
Well, at the end of the day, it's easier to, you know, point out the deficiencies in somebody else than it is to point out our own and deal with our own and come to terms with our own shortfall.
Mm-hmm. So I think he broke it into two. I broke it into three. Because I'm smarter than Chalice. I didn't like the way he did it. He put kind of a hypocritical and hidden judgment together, which I kind of think are worth talking about separately. So we'll start with there's three different forms of forbidden judgment. There's probably more if you break it down, but I think fundamentally there's three forms of judgment the Bible talks about and that we wrestle with. We need to fight against. The first one is the one we've been talking about. It actually goes back to the scripture that we started with. It's a hypocritical judgment. We all tend to have a hypocritical judgment. We judge harshly, but not ourselves.
Right.
mostly others. This is forbidden clearly by Jesus, first and foremost in Matthew 7. So this is the stuff that we demand from others, or we think should be in others, but we do not demand from ourselves or do ourselves. So this is plank eye living.
Mm-hmm. I think of the Pharisees in this regard.
Yeah.
How they would
totally
build these extra, you know, rules around the law.
Sure.
So, you know, you couldn't work on the Sabbath. So like, you know, to carry a loaf of bread that was too heavy for one person to carry. So there two guys would carry it together and then it was okay. They had so many of these rules. They were kind of, it was kind of funny. And they actually acted like they were being pious and holy.
No.
Right.
And they were putting burdens on other people through their hypocrisy as well. So
yeah. And they did have a total blind spot too.
Whitewashed tomb, right? That Jesus called them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's who Jesus was first and foremost talking to or speaking to here in Matthew 7 were those guys. They were the religious guys.
Yeah.
And you know, the church gets a lot of rap from outsiders, sometimes justly, for this same type of thing.
Right.
Is that the church is in there acting like this and presenting themselves like this, and they don't even see that they're the problem when it comes to this, you know? And I grew up seeing some of that. We all do it. I have it in me, you know? Yeah. It's a real thing.
It's particularly ugly, though.
It's particularly ugly.
You know, even in the...
Especially from the righteous.
Yeah. What we'll excuse, you know, as Christians, what we'll ignore, and you know, and then what we'll focus on is kind of it's a problem.
It's a
call sin sin, call evil evil, call, you know, don't say this is fine,
right,
and this is bad. Make, you know, be honest about both.
Totally, yeah, and ourselves first. I mean, this is I think one of the best testimonies the church can have is when they're conscious of this, of the tendency to do this, and confession is a major even corporate part of worship and what the church does.
Sure.
When that church is a confessional, you know, organization, a confessional assembly, that goes a long way. It kind of puts a bullet in the head of our tendency to be hypocritical.
Yeah, totally.
Which is to put our best foot forward in front of everybody and not ever put our challenges forward. So, yeah.
I think like 1 Corinthians 6, you know, where Paul kind of, he gives this list of like, here's all these problems with humanity, right? And he reminds them, like, such were some of you, and kind of this call, like, remember where you came from, right? That person that you're judging, remember you used to be that.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? And again, it just breeds a humility as we, you know, look at our own sin and the sins of others.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, just, I was thinking of that, that Westboro Baptist group. Kind of popped into my mind. Yeah. They used to get, like, go picket military funerals, and they would hold up. They'd go to, you know, pride parades and stuff like that, and hold up these signs that were just, I mean, you know, God terrible. Hates a certain group of people, and it was, and you know, it's like, hey, do you know what else God hates that you're kind of ignoring?
Yeah, you know,
it just was like, wow, and they didn't see it at all. They thought that they were being the only righteous ones around.
So their specialty was making sure they pointed out loudly everybody else's challenges, and never pointing at their own.
It becomes a legalism then, doesn't it? Right.
Well, and they were like
all these outward.
They were nothing like Jesus,
right?
And then they were calling out people for being nothing like Jesus,
right?
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So that's the first one. I think it's the most common. Mm-hmm. I think it's the one that we're all most familiar with. The second one is a big one. This one I just called hidden judgment. So that's stuff that we don't know about a person or a circumstance or cannot see concerning a person or a circumstance. So it's lack of information, yet we construct a narrative as if we know. Which then in turn affects how we treat that person or approach that person and everything else. So
what if you're really good at constructing narratives though? Cause
hang on a second. I'm pretty sure I'm the best at this table. Constructing narratives, dude. I've been doing it a while.
I'm pretty good at it.
Yeah.
Well, we've all been given the gift of discernment so we can figure these things out.
Yeah.
You know,
this one's dangerous. And I think we've all, again, as pastors, you know, who have pastored for a while, we've even experienced some of the dangers and the fallout from something like this, because this is something that we all do.
Yeah.
Like it's just like the first one, as far as like, it's a common challenge, like it's judgment gone bad. Mm-hmm. And it's something that we all walk in pretty regularly.
Sure.
It's really easy for me to see a headline or to, you know, to hear about this thing that happened with this person. All of a sudden I know the whole story. I've gotten the whole deal, like, you know, and I know.
And then
know.
You find out the real truth. And you're like, oh.
Right. So like, again, this is the biggest challenge I think for us as pastors with counseling. We know this well when you've got, let's say, a marriage, you know what I mean? That's going sideways, but you only have access to one of the people in the party.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's all you're hearing. And it seems right, and they sound right, and they're sincere.
You're like, okay, how have you been married to this person this long? Yeah. They sound horrible.
Right.
Man, you sound so great, and they just sound terrible.
Yeah, and it's
taking. And then you make a judgment based on that because you don't
until
right.
you meet,
sit down with that other person.
Well, until you learn, like I did the hard way after years, to not make a judgment. Right, I know I'm getting partial truths. Right, there's three truths, you know, to everything. I think Jim Dexter just said this the other day when we were hanging out, you know, and there's his, there's hers, and then there's the truth. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, somewhere in the middle is the truth.
Yeah.
So
it's not always because one of the other is lying.
Well, it's just that we tend to paint ourselves in the best possible light.
Oh, yeah.
And
I mean, I don't, but you guys do.
Yeah, I've heard people can be that way.
Yeah.
I paint you in the best light.
And we also
all the time.
We also have blind spots.
We totally.
You know,
have
we don't blind see. Spots. We don't see our true selves.
Right.
You know.
And we're emotional creatures. A lot of times we're emotion driven.
Yep.
So, even if we hear an aspect of a narrative, we can be so emotionally charged over it, or so
for
emotionally
sure.
given to it yeah. that it can. Actually skew our ability to look at it objectively or for what it is.
Right.
And so there's a lot of challenges to this one, but the most basic one is that when we have a piece of information about something, and not the rest, or about someone, mm-hmm. we need to make sure that we're not jumping to conclusions about what this whole thing is, or
well, that's where that's where the whole idea of, you know, the gossip and stuff starts, and
it totally
destroy a church. I mean, mm-hmm. it becomes divisive, and I think it's trying to get to the bottom of things, and I think we just have to do it more effectively and consistently than we typically do, because sometimes we don't want to break confidence or whatever. It's like, well, we got to find out what's going on here, because this is something that's going to affect us in some way.
Yeah.
If that's really what the truth is.
Yeah.
And then we get the chance to unpack that a bit and say, okay, all right, here's what's really going on. I think mm-hmm. I just quickly can easily make a judgment call really.
Yeah.
And then
I've appreciated in the past, we've had some things that have gone on in the church where people got pretty upset with us, thought we'd made a bad call or heard something about mm-hmm. us. And when they actually have taken the time to meet with us and say, hey, what's going on?
Yep.
Because now we have a chance to explain ourselves. Right. Usually once we do that, they're like, oh, I totally misjudged that. You know, I thought your motives were this, or I thought it was going, you know, or sometimes it's like, oh, we realize, oh, we've made a mistake here. Yeah, you're right. This is, you know, it's like, but you got to talk through these things.
Yeah. Willing to talk through those things,
making somebody, you know, guilty as charged without actually, you know, taking the time to.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, the world is like, you're guilty until proven innocent.
Yeah, right.
It's like, there's just automatically assumption that it's true. It's well, that's why I think that's where you see some people being, their reputation being damaged by false accusations and things, because the automatic is, well, it's got to be true.
So, and this is where, you know, gossip makes its ugly entrance into mm-hmm. something like this. Is why it's so ugly, gossip.
Yeah.
Is because there is a reputation being painted that may be completely false.
Right.
But that will continue to hurt that person.
Yeah.
Long after this thing is sorted out, or this story, all the truth comes out or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so we need to be really, really careful about our lack of information and how much we talk to others about that. Lack of information, or with
that. I think is it when in that passage you mentioned earlier, you know, such were some of you. I mean, isn't gossip a part of that? Right?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, if we're new creations, then gossip ought not be a part of our.
Well, and how many times do we see, you know, people, whether, you know, in the Christian world or the secular world, go back and apologize for? I mean, we just we just don't do that.
Right?
No. We should. But we just don't do that. We don't ever, like, people get canceled, you know, over a
we
false narrative.
People.
Yeah.
You know, we just move on. You know, we don't say, oh, I got that wrong. I'm sorry about that. We don't own it.
Yeah, no one really gets exonerated.
Even if we're caught for getting it wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We got to be different in the church.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is a big one. I mean, hypocritical judgment, I think, kind of steals the spotlight a lot. But I think our hidden judgment or, you know, stuff that we don't know that we act like we do or talk like we do, that stinks, man.
Yeah.
That does a lot of damage inside the church, even. You know?
So something that I thought of when you said hidden, that this isn't what you meant by it, but it triggered a thought that, like, we can maybe not say our judgment out loud.
Yeah.
Right? We can keep it to ourselves.
Yeah.
You don't get a whole lot of credit for that.
Right.
Right.
You maybe get a little credit for, you know, keeping your mouth shut, but, like, you're still thinking things, and things are still going on in your mind and in your heart when you're judging people just because you don't say it.
Yeah.
Or make it public, like there's still a struggle there.
So let me go a little, bouncing off of what you just said, kind of sparked a thought. Why do we have a desire to do this? What is this thing that makes us want to understand a story or have a piece of truth and herald it to others?
I see it in our culture just all the time. There's whole television shows like TMZ that are built on this kind of a
gossip
get the story, be the first to break the news. And we've known people like this. They want to have the inside scoop. They want to be the first person to post it. They want to be the first person to, because it makes them feel important or in the know or whatever. But I have that in me. So
I know. I think we all do.
But it's ugly when you just really step back and look at it. Yep. I remember one time there was a relative that passed away, and I wanted to be the first one to be able to tell people, you know, so-and-so died. Yeah. Like, I was more excited about, what is wrong with you? I was really little at the time, but I still remember that. Like, that was weird, man.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I want to make sure I could, you know, tell them first.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why would you want to be the first to tell somebody that?
Yeah.
That's bizarre.
Knowledge is power for some people.
It is. Yeah. I mean, our pride sucks.
Yeah.
Hypocritical judgment is due to pride. Being able to herald something that's hidden Institute of Pride.
Yep.
Chad, what were you going to say?
I just lost my train of thought.
I'm sorry, man. I cut you off like I always do.
Yeah, I get
it. Sorry about it. All right, let's go.
You're the worst.
Oh, is our need to feel important, right? That fuels it. I mean, it's pride at the end of the day, but
yes.
But you know, our need to feel important, like we have something of value to bring
the
world in. You know, our gossip.
Yeah,
and so sometimes I think we're very conscious that we're gossiping and we do it anyway.
You're totally right.
Sometimes we're not conscious of it in the moment.
Right.
Right. But it's still like, we don't get credit for that either. It still just is what it is.
Yeah.
But I just, you know, it's worth acknowledging that sometimes we know exactly what we're doing.
No, you're totally right.
When we're gossiping.
Mm-hmm. You're totally right. It's a look at me thing. Yeah. Makes us feel important. Like you guys said, number three, the third, like forbidden judgment, that's pretty common, is the judgment of conscience. And so we, there's a lot of stuff in the Christian life and that we're liberated to walk in and we're liberated to enjoy.
Yeah.
But there's also a lot of those gray things that we're able to, those liberties that we're able to enjoy that are dangerous for others. A lot of times it's hard for me to think that I can do this thing and this other person looks at it as something bad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or vice versa. And so this is kind of the third one. There's extensive amounts of writing in the epistles on this. You know, one whole chapter obviously is Romans 14. Paul spends the whole chapter because the church is being challenged internally with this this type of judgment that's forbidden. You need to be like me. You need to think like me. You need to have the same convictions as me. You need to have the same faith as me towards these things. And it goes on and on and on. And it destroys it destroys things. So the third one is judgment of conscience, is what I called it, which is stuff that we think should be right or wrong for others because it is for us.
For us, yeah. And we feel as strongly about it as if we have a conviction about it, we think, well, they ought to have the same conviction that I do.
Totally.
And if they don't, well, then they're wrong.
That's the funny thing. Is like 20 years ago, Jeff, did he have the same convictions that you have today?
Yeah.
No.
So then that's the funny part in this is that we don't even pay attention to.
Right.
It's like we're in the process of this thing called sanctification where God is revealing things to us. He's changing us. He's showing us. And other people are in that same process.
Yeah.
And we're not all in the same, you know, spot. So it's like, of course, we're not going to have the same convictions.
Yeah. Well, it's when I think the danger comes when, like, I can be, let's say I'm convicted about gossiping about someone.
You should be.
And I was doing that with David, right? And we were having that conversation together. And I'm convicted about it to the point where, like, I'm going to go to that person and I'm going to ask for their forgiveness. I'm going to, and I want David to be convicted the same way that I was. And if he's not, well, then he's wrong.
Yeah,
and I think we run that to the nth degree, I think, at times. And I think we have this expectation. I mean, we see that with alcohol, right? We see that with different things that, I mean, those have been things that have gone on for years. Mm-hmm. Well, alcohol is wrong. Well, the Bible tells us that it's getting drunk. I mean, you just have those ongoing conversations. And I think the challenge comes in some ways, it's the pride. I think it's also the self-righteousness.
Oh, yeah. No,
right? I'm convicted about that, so you ought to be too. Yeah. It's like, and that's, you know, like boycotts and those sort of things are the same. I think the same thing, right? Like, you know, I just think we jump to conclusions. We assume somebody's conscience, right? We think they ought to think and believe the same way we do. And if they don't, well, what happens now? Well, we cancel them.
Part of the difficulty is that, like, there are things that are black and white that, like, you know, gossip is always wrong, right? There's never a time when that's okay. There are a whole lot of things, I think, to David's point, that are a gray area. And so, you know, in our discernment, we have to be able to figure out which things are black and white and which things, you know, there's kind of freedom of conscience in. And some things are obvious, but not everything is obvious where there's freedom of conscience. And we tend to make, you know, everything black or white.
Yeah.
Right.
But definitely in our pride, I think we would all agree that we ultimately think in our pride that we're right and people should think like us.
Right, everybody should think like me. Yeah.
Well, but the hard part of what you're saying is that even though there are things that are black and white and there's things that are gray, there are people that might accuse somebody of gossip when it's not actually gossip.
Sure.
That happened to us a while. Well, not even that. I mean, that happened to us a while back where we got accused of like this thing. And it's like, well, wait, that's not what this was at all.
Totally.
Excuse me. And so you know, even though that's black and white, gossip is always wrong.
Yeah.
Just because somebody judges you as a gossip doesn't mean that they're necessarily correct in that. And that's where it gets a little wonky.
Yeah. And that's where right judgment matters.
Yeah.
Go back to Matthew 7, right? Like are you judging this properly to begin with? Like, this isn't even what you're accusing it of being.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, because there is a sense. I mean, like, you think about, was it 1 Corinthians 5 where Paul talks about, he talks about judging. He does actually tell people to judge. And I think he's talking about, specifically, he's talking about sin.
People inside the church.
Inside the church. And I think that's where, again, the motive, the right judgment has to be a part of that. Because he does also tell us when we're to relent from that. Like, okay, we're to press in on sin, but when there's repentance, we're not to keep pressing in on that. We're to show grace and love and care and concern for that person. I think that's sometimes where those judgments come and go poorly as well, is when we just keep thinking that person's the same, even though they've repented of that sin.
Well, we tend to think about, you know, our judgment as a punitive thing, mm-hmm. right? Like looking at someone and, you know, trying to bust them or get them in trouble or, you know, call them out. But, you know, a more biblical view is that, like, when God calls us on our sin, it's restorative.
Mm. Right.
Right. And even, like, you know, church discipline in, you know, Matthew 18, like, the whole point of it is restoration, not mm-hmm. punity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And as we think about, you know, judging even within the church, like, that ought to be at the forefront of our mind, is I need to restore a brother. I don't need to bust a brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously this was a huge, you know, because of what Romans 14 says and what Paul spends the time writing there, this was a big deal. This is a big deal in the church as far as liberties and when to do what and how to do what and, you know, what you're allowed to eat and stuff, because they were coming from a couple different cultures at the time. It made it challenging. You know, you had the ancient Jewish culture there, you know, bumping up against this new wineskin called the church, mm-hmm. you know, that's full of Gentiles and people from all kinds of different cultures. And so, how necessary, you know, but we deal with the same stuff today. You know, when we look at the fragmentation of evangelicalism and even Protestantism, you know, a lot of it's these things that are convictions as far as what day you worship on and what that worship looks like exactly, you know, outside of what's regulative and what you eat and what festivals you observe or don't observe, or like it's all a lot of it's just even religious preferences, you know. And I think that's where it gets challenging and a little more complicated inside the church is when it comes down to some of that stuff. But I love that we have freedom. There is one thing that Paul says there. He gives us all the right mm-hmm. to walk due to our conscience and the faith that we have towards that thing. But what none of us are allowed to do is insist our liberty or conviction on another, or what he says there is stumble our brother,
right,
with what we're able to mm-hmm. enjoy, and so that's the one thing that's clear. But I think we're it's definitely a challenge for each of us as far as a point of judgment where we can look at someone and go like, "What are you doing listening to music like that?" Or "What are you doing watching a TV show like that?" And it can really affect the way that we judge them.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I think it matters that we understand what it is to stumble a brother, mm-hmm. because I think mm-hmm. a lot of times we think that if I'm offended, you've stumbled me.
Right.
And I think the Bible would say, like, if you're offended, like, just stop. Don't stop being offended, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To stumble a brother means to lead them into sin.
Exactly.
And so just because you're offended at my liberty doesn't necessarily mean I'm wrong in my liberty.
Right.
It might be that you're wrong in you taking offense at my mm-hmm. liberty. Yeah.
But you shouldn't, I think the point is you don't insist on, I have freedom to do this.
Right.
And
you do too.
I don't care how that affects you.
Yeah.
So
that too.
I'm just going to run ahead and do this thing. And if you fall, that's not
I have the freedom to do it.
And, there's nothing Christ-like in that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
But I like where Paul lands in that thing is that each man should be convinced
in his own mind
about what to do. So if you have this conviction that I need to take Saturday and call that a Sabbath and not do anything on that day, then do that.
But don't tell me I have
But don't tell every other Christian in the world that they're wrong for not doing that. That's where we go off the rails. I like Jonathan Edwards is a great example of a guy that wrote all of these things he limited himself on. It's a crazy list of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And I look at that and think, you're
a
nutbag.
What a miserable Christian you were.
Well, but again, because he wrote these things for himself, there were resolutions like even stuff like if I'm eating dessert, I will never eat the last bite of the dessert because he wanted. And I'm, you know, again, okay, but Sometimes that could be the center of the cinnamon roll.
I'll eat the last bite in yours,
right?
Too.
Anyway, but again, if you do that for yourself, knock yourself out. Yeah. But when you start to say everybody else has to do the same thing, that's where it gets wonky.
I'll eat your last bite.
Give me
last
bite.
Ultimately, it's a matter of faith, which is a big deal. And this is what this is the difference really between something that's right and something that's sin, right? And that's how Paul ends it. He says, the faith that you have, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who has no reason to pass judgment on himself for what he approves. But whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats, because the eating is not from faith, for whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. And so this is something that I think we need, that causes sobriety, if you're reading this for what it, you know, each of us within ourselves to be sober with how we judge others and how we approach others with our liberties and our freedoms, really.
Yeah.
And the things that are dangerous, the things that will lead us into bondage and lead us into traps. We need to be honest about that, but sober about that. Yeah. So.
Yeah, and I think he speaks to that in verse 17 of chapter 14, Romans. For the judgment of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Yep. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men.
Yep. So the thing is superficial.
What makes for peace? Yeah. And I think it's the key piece in there too is that we're living in the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God that and the Word of God that is helping us to understand those things that we are to judge, but also the motive in which we do it, the heart behind it, the desire in it.
Yep.
Yeah. And there's sometimes things like, you know what? That's not even worth a conversation, or that's not even worth passing a judgment on, because it doesn't really matter. I mean, it's sort of like, in light of eternity, is this
for sure
really that big of a deal, you know?
For sure. But, and why do we have the innate need to control somebody anyway? You know what I mean? Like, that's the other question, you know? Like, where does that come from, and why do I have that? Why do I think all these people need to think exactly like I do? You know what I mean? So, yeah, don't answer that. Okay, good. All right, so number one, hypocritical judgment, plank eye judgment. What is the best piece of advice you have to help us stay out of this, participating in this or walking in this actively?
Look inside first.
That's the point in the text, right?
Remember self-examination. Your own depravity.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, you think this about this person? All right, you first. Like, how you doing? Right?
Right.
And that's an honest view of yourself. I mean,
it's an honest view of yourself.
I think don't have too high a view of yourself.
Yeah,
because, you know, be honest.
Be honest.
You know, I think as Christians, the longer we're Christians, sometimes the more we forget this, but we've got to always look back to remember who we were, what Jesus saved us from. If we see anything good in ourselves, where did it come from?
Right.
Not from us. It came from Jesus, you know, and so just always keep an honest view of yourself.
Yep. Which will all also play into how we are able to be corrective with somebody else, with our
there's
brother,
grace then. Now you've got grace.
Well, there's humility because
you've put
the spotlight on yourself first. Like, you've examined the depths of your depravity and the challenges that you've had first. Yeah. So now humble posture is what's able to go in a brother.
Now you have compassion. Now compassion and grace. And
yes.
When you lead with compassion and grace and humility, it changes the entire way.
And a motive to restore.
Yeah.
And it says when we do that, we're to do it with gentleness and respect.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Number two, the hidden judgment thing, the stuff we think that we know. So we create a narrative without having all the information. How should we start that process when we find ourselves there? What should we do first?
Maybe just assuming that you don't know everything that there is to know.
Maybe assuming that you don't know everything. And
Rather than assuming you've got it figured out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Zipping your lip.
There's always more to the story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So well, you start going to everybody and... getting the rest of the information? No.
No, but when you're in a situation where you're asked to make a judgment
and
you have half of a story, make sure that you, you know, don't rely on only part of the information. Get the rest of the information.
Yep.
Be wise before you form an opinion.
Yep. Yep.
What if you're not asked to make a judgment?
Well,
you should give your opinion anyway.
Right.
What if they should care about what I think and they don't?
I was thinking of a situation where we're asked to help in a marriage situation or a relationship. But there's other times, like, you read a news headline.
Yes.
You know, so then you're not asked to make a judgment. But just make sure that you're... Don't buy it hook, line, and sinker until you get the whole story, because I can't tell you how many times I've been wrong doing that and then felt like an idiot. So
And I would just add also, be careful to pause and differentiate what you're feeling towards something rather than what you know about something.
Yeah. Yep.
Right. Because, I mean, our feelings, especially certain things, just tug on on the human heartstrings more than other things. And we just get lost. We just get carried away by our emotions and make judgment calls. We need to be careful with that. So,
well, and the other side is don't be too quick to condemn, but also don't create these scenarios where there's no way this anybody could ever do something.
Right.
I've done that with my kids. I've done it with other people. You're like, you know, you create this idol of like, well, there's no way they could ever do anything wrong. And then, that ends up going poorly for you too. So.
Yeah. And then the last one that we talked about, the judgment of conscience, what's the best way to walk in a proper way concerning others with conscience? I mean, obviously this one takes humility too, but.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. All of it does. I mean, I think just remembering that, your liberties might not be others' liberties and their liberties might not be yours. And just having consideration, the Bible says to consider others better than ourselves. Paul talks about that in Philippians.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, just consider others.
That we're not all the same. Yeah. Wow. Our whole world can,
There is a point though, where as Christians, judging other Christians based on what God's word says,
not ourselves
mm-hmm. as the measure, not our own liberties and what we allow, but what God's word says. If you call yourself a Christian, we're going to treat you like a Christian. So you put the team jersey on.
This is why we judge people inside the church, right? It's 1 Corinthians 5.
Yeah, you've agreed to play by the rules. And if we see something going on and it's not happening as the church, we have a responsibility.
It's a fair game to go over there and let them have it.
Well, and that's where I think it's where Matthew 18 is key.
Yeah, in love. Yeah. Just kidding. In love.
Yeah.
But,
and humility.
But the most loving thing we can do at that point, we're this is the purity of the church. This is the bride of Christ. This matters. So I would expect you guys to do this for me. Yeah. And I would want you to, maybe not in the moment, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so this is, there is something about that, but the world is a different thing. Yeah. And Paul, and that's clear in that passage. It's like, we can't, that's why the boycotts and stuff is funny to me. Yeah. It's like, well, they're not claiming to be Christians. They're not they're not born again. You shouldn't expect Christian behavior.
Right. Why should they play by your rule book when they don't care about your rule book?
Yeah. Cause you're expecting something of them that they just can't do.
They're doing exactly what they should be doing.
Yeah. Yep.
And we know it.
Yeah.
And, but for the grace of God, there goes us. So we need to be careful about
how it's okay to point out what's holy and right and good according to God. I'm glad somebody did that for me when I was a non-Christian because it did convict me, but, to demand Christian behavior from somebody who's
dead from a non-Christian,
their trespasses and sins is like, it's asking a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, hey, corpse,
it's like,
start to
hey, corpse, dance a little jig for me.
It's Weekend at Bernie's, isn't it?
There you go.
Okay. That's it. I'm going to go take an allergy pill.
Man, that's kind of just relying on drugs, are you?
Mm-hmm. my conscience allows me to pump myself full of drugs. So. Why don't you pray?
Sorry, I had to judge you a little.
Are you judging me right now, Doug?
Judge me?
He's judging me judge face over there.
Hey, Brent, why don't you pray? Don't you pray for your judging heart?
Yeah. With my weak little voice, I'll do it. All right. Lord, thank you for these brothers. Thank you for the way they encourage me and spur me on to want to be a better Christian. Lord, we just pray that as a church in Sun River and also in Lapine, including CBC, Lord, that we would be just people who love you, who love righteousness, who love holiness, that would treat each other well, Lord, that when the world sees us and the way we treat each other, they would know that Christ is with us and present in our midst. That they wouldn't see backbiting and ugly judgment and just all the ugliness that so often exists in churches, but help purify us, we pray, and help us to have grace and compassion to those who don't know you yet. Thank you that you've saved us, but such were some of you. We need to remember that, Lord. You've been so good to us. So thank you for Jesus. Thank you for this time that we get to talk about judging and help us to be just better at this whole stuff, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in to One Decent Pastor. If you'd like more information about the church, go to our website at thedoor3r.org.